Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
908 on KDXU. Good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello Finlinson is here as well. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
It's a Friday. Mello, thank you, by the way, for filling in for me last week while I was gone. I appreciate that. You're the man. You can't hear me through the phone?
I'm having issues back here. I'll figure it out with the soundboard.
All right. Well, yeah, well, hopefully we'll get that all figured out. But, Mello was in the chair here for me for a couple of days, and I really do. I owe you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
I guess Gil came the one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Gil actually texted me after the show and said everything went great. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had a good chat with him. He's easy to talk to. I know him from back in the day when I worked at Rolling Stone.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because he used to be a landscaper guy. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I was trying to think, because you said when we were setting all this up, you said, oh, yeah, I know Gil. I thought it was through here that you'd met him through the show, but you actually knew him from other avenues.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I was gone. What happened was my wife's father passed away last Thursday morning. So he'd had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been very sick, and so... it was probably good that he went, and in a lot of ways it was good, but and I don't know, Mello, where you've been on the death spectrum, if you've been involved in a lot of funerals and stuff, mm-hmm. but it's still, even though he needed to go, he mm-hmm. you know, he was no longer lucid, it was a tough thing for, especially for my wife and her sisters,
and
my stepmom. And I think it wasn't just that he passed away, but it was signified to all of them, because their mother had died 20 years ago, that was kind of the end of their parents' generation, that group mm-hmm. there. And, it was very emotional. I was really proud of my wife and her sisters and the way they both, all three of them spoke at the funeral and, did a fantastic job. Unfortunately for me, there's one song that always gets me, and it's not God Be With You Till We Meet Again, because even though that one can, if I think about it a lot, can make me very upset, it is a song that has a really cool bass singing part, and so all I do during that song is focus on hitting the right notes, and I don't have to worry about getting upset. But the song, so we sang a song at my brother's funeral in 1997.
Mm.
My sisters and my brother and I sang it. It was called I Feel My Savior's Love, which is, it's an LDS primary type song. When they sang that, all the grandkids got up and sang it. And when they sang that at the funeral, I was just like, oh, man, this is not good.
It's hard. It's hard.
So I lost it a little bit. My wife said, she was up to actually sitting up on the stand. She said, I couldn't look at you during mm-hmm. that song, because I knew if I did, I would lose it too. So anyway, you start thinking about life and death when anytime you go to a funeral, right? You start thinking about what's important and what's not important. And I know you've done a pretty good job of prioritizing things. What is it? What's that book you're always talking about? Let them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes I'm bad at that, letting them, whoever them might be and whatever mm-hmm. it might be. Maybe you have some lessons to teach us, Mello, teach me in particular about that, huh?
Right.
I don't know. Have you lost your mom, right? Not that long ago.
So back in 2021 was my first big loss as an adult. My sister passed away.
Mm-hmm.
She had just barely turned 52. She was healthy. I'd just seen her the weekend before, no illness. And she had myocarditis. And she just was getting ready for work in the morning, lay down just because she probably wasn't feeling well, and she passed away.
Is that like a heart arrhythmia? I know something to do with the heart.
I think it's when your heart gets expanded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was our first loss. And then less than a year and a half later in 2022, my mom was really healthy. She was 75. She was working over at the Family History Center. She was a genealogist. She was teaching lots of classes. She was really active. She walked several miles every morning. She swam. She was She was very healthy. And then she had a stroke.
Oh, man.
And so we took her in for the stroke. We were helping her get better from her stroke. And then she had another stroke. And then they found out that she had cancer in her stomach. She had pancreatic cancer that we didn't know about. So wow. She was a downwinder. So then within, like, I think 2 weeks of her diagnosis of the cancer, she passed away.
Man, oh, man.
And then I also lost one of my best friends from breast cancer. And I lost two clients in the last year and a half, too, that where I got really close to. I kind of adopt my clients that don't have family around. So I go in, I'll visit them, and I'll bring my kids over. My kids know who they are. It's just hard. It's hard when you lose people that you love.
So you went a good portion of your life without really having to deal with this kind of loss. And then within 5 years, you've had a bunch.
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's hard. But, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, you're going to see them again. At least I feel like I will.
Yeah.
And I feel their presence around me. And I look for signs. There's a really cool book. I believe it's called Signs. And I read it. And it's kind of really helped me process the loss and be able to look for moments around me where I can feel their inspiration and their connection.
Years ago, I had a friend that I worked with. And I'm not going to say his name because he still lives here in town. But he said he was an atheist.
Oh.
And I said, we spent many, you know, we worked at the same place late at night. And so when we get done our shift or whatever, we'd sit and chat for a while. And I said, how can you, you know, I used all the arguments that you use when you're talking to an atheist, you know, how is this all by chance? And how the quantum leap of you know, the man's intelligence versus the supposedly next link in the line, you know, monkeys, primates, whatever. And then finally, I said, "What about death?" I said, "What do you think about death?" He says, "Oh, I believe you live on." I'm like, "Oh, so you're not atheist?" He goes, "I believe you live on in the memories of other people."
Okay, I've heard that. I've heard that mentioned before.
That's kind of a little bit sad.
So then, if nobody thinks of you, you don't get remembered. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's kind of what he was saying. Was if when you die, you're gone. That's it. It's all over. The only thing left is memories of you. And if you don't leave good memories for people, then you might as well not have lived. And I'm like, well, that is so sad.
That's a very sad way to look at it.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I was able to tell him, look, well, here's what I believe and here's what I think happens. And, you know, and I don't think it's, I think it's more than just memories. I think there's an afterlife and it's going to be a joyful reunion in the afterlife. And he's like, yeah, I don't buy that. So,
yeah,
okay.
I really like those near death, websites that mm-hmm. have, like, there's YouTube channels with near-death experiences, and they interview people and they share their near-death experiences, and all of them have something continuing on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my wife's mom died 21 years ago, and her dad just died last week, and I think it's a pretty good reunion right mm-hmm. between those two right now somewhere in, and we don't know a lot about the next life, which is good, I think.
Right.
But I really believe those two are hugging, you know, and they're together hanging out. And
yeah.
She's probably whacking him upside the head. Why'd you take so long? You know, something like that, you know, whatever. But
exactly.
Anyway, so on the way home, the funeral was Tuesday. On the way home, we were coming south on I-15. We hit Scipio, and I could see traffic backed up just past Scipio. Like, stopped completely on the freeway. And I'm like, that's not good. So I'm like, well, I'll just get off and get gas. I didn't really need it yet. I was like, you know, I still had 3/8 of a tank or something. But I'm like, I'll just stop and get gas, and we'll stretch our legs a little bit. And so we pulled off in Scipio, and the gas station we went to had a really good view of the freeway and all the backing up. And we could see the way up front of the line of the cars, there was a diesel truck on fire, which was catching the brush on fire and everything. And there had been a highway patrolman kind of doing the squiggly line thing, stopping people. And, I told my wife, I said, we need to find another way, because this could be a long time before they let people through. So fortunately, those that know the highways in Utah, Scipio, right out of Scipio is Highway 50, which goes up through the mountains and up to Interstate 70, which then cuts back down over to I-15. Thus, it's only really about 15 or 20 miles further, but man, we felt, I don't know how long they held traffic there. My wife looked on our little Waze program, and it was a red line for a long time, but we felt pretty smart because there weren't very many people doing what we were doing.
I know. I was coming back from California last year when that big diesel had tipped over with the lithium batteries.
Oh, yeah.
And they had closed it for a long time. And we had Waze. We use Waze as well. And they took us on some route that I don't even know. We went through farmlands and everything. And we were able to get home like 2 hours before other people in our party that were coming back home.
We should. I think as a public service, we ought to tell people about Waze because it really is cool. Can you describe what it is and how to spell it and all that stuff in case people want to use it when they travel?
Yeah, it's Waze, W-A-Z-E, and it's an app. You can get it on your phone. My sister's from California, and she told me about it. And it's really cool because you get points. I don't know what the points do, but it just makes you feel special.
So as you're driving,
as you're driving, it'll say there's like a little triangle with a plus mark, and you can hit it. So like, say I see a tire in the road, I can hit that, and then I can report the hazard that there's an object in the road. But the cool thing about everybody reporting different things as you're driving is then you're driving down, and it'll say warning hazard approaching, right? Or it'll say vehicle stopped on the side, and then a little message pops up, and it says, is that still there? And then you report yes or no. And the other cool thing is now that I don't have a radar detector in my new car, report police, and it'll say hidden police, or it'll say police on this side. No, it's on the other side. And then you just click the button and say, yep, they're still there. And then other people have that luxury of being warned about objects, cars on the side of the road, and police.
And it's so people really get into it. It's real time and very useful. Like, when we were using it on the way up to Salt Lake last week, it would say car, you know, truck in the shoulder in 1/4 mile. And, I mean, it wasn't like it was telling you something that happened an hour or two ago. Mm-hmm. It was telling you in real time all the cool stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
And with traffic on Waze, it has red if it's completely stopped, yellow if it's slow moving, and then green if it's clear and open. And that is so helpful.
Yeah, it saved my bacon last week, and I was driving back from California. I brought my dad back, and it was bringing me through Vegas, and they had the freeway closed for 2 miles. And so it took me out and around, and I swear, it took me like through a car dealership and then back around a frontage road I didn't even know existed on the opposite side of the freeway, and I was back on the road, and there were other people. There were no detour signs. I don't know how anybody else got through that without an app.
Yeah, yeah, and when we went on SR-50 around that mess, there was no one in front of me, and there was one car about a mile back behind me. I don't know if people don't have Waze, if they didn't know about the alternate route. I don't know what it was, but I really thought a lot of people would be going that way. They were all just sitting on the I-15 waiting
for it.
Just
waiting. Yeah. It's awful. So I always travel with Waze. I use that over my Google Maps and my Apple Maps. I always use Waze.
I've had a few people say you should have just waited, I would rather proactively go the other way, even if it ends up being the same amount of time and I had to go 10 or 15 miles further. I would rather be pursuing a better way and maybe seeing some new scenery than sitting in that awful traffic in the heat.
So I'm right there with you. I didn't know you use Waze, too. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't have it. I think I do have it on my phone. But my wife, because I'm usually driving, she's the navigator. So it's funny. We talked last week about these little State Farm little things, safe driving things that we have in our vehicles now. It hasn't figured out who's driving, like if you were both in the car together. And so it always makes her be the driver, which my wife hates driving. If we're in a car together, unless I'm sick and dying, she is not driving. I'm driving. So she'll get on her phone because it knows that, you know, whose phone it is. And she'll get on her phone and be looking at Waze or whatever. And it keeps dinging her saying, oh, you're on your phone and driving. Well, she's not driving, but State Farm thinks it is her. So I feel kind of bad about that.
I think you can mark it, though, whether you're the driver or not.
Well, yeah, but at least so far, we haven't been able to figure out how to do it without marking each individual trip. And that's a pain in the neck because, how many trips?
Challenge.
Every little errand you run is a separate trip. It doesn't. You know, each one is
I don't want State Farm to know how fast I'm driving. They've asked me if I'll do that, and I said no.
Well, you're allowed to go 8 over, by the way, on this.
8 over?
8 over.
Oh, yes. Then I could not use the app.
No? You go a little faster than that? Mellow. Not going to admit it. It dings you for taking turns too fast, which seems to be my little bugaboo. I don't go more than 8 over usually, but I do go around turns too fast, apparently. And it dings my wife for braking too quickly. But here's the thing that drives me crazy. So this happened twice in Salt Lake this past weekend for me. You know how sometimes in newer cars, if you get too close to another car, a big orange light will flash and say, accident imminent or whatever it is. You know, you're going to get in a wreck, whatever. I'm like, dude, I got this. Like, quit freaking out on me. Like, it's as bad as my wife when she sees brake lights. She freaks out and kind of will slap me or whatever. Like, hey, I'm like, dude, I'm not going to hit the car. Relax.
Right.
Okay. But
right.
Anyway. But I did have a better weekend, perhaps, than a guy by the name of Andy Byron. Do you know who Andy Byron is? Andy Byron is the CEO of Astronomer Company. It's a tech company. I looked up Astronomer thinking it would be something interesting. Listen to this description. Astronomer is a data infrastructure company that provides tools to help organizations manage and streamline complex data workflows. In other words, yawn, right? Anyway, Andy Byron is the CEO of this company. He went to a Coldplay concert with his wife, with a wife, I should say. It wasn't his wife. And, you know, the big thing is you get the different, you know, during down times, they have pictures like the kiss cam and the hug cam and the look-alike cam.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andy... Andy got pictured on the kiss cam at a Coldplay concert with his arms affectionately around this woman who, as it turns out, was not his wife.
No.
She was a wife. She was someone else's wife, but not his wife.
Right.
And anyway, I'm going to read you the story as it is. First of all, I'm going to play a little Coldplay for fun. There we go again. Yeah. Okay, a Jumbotron and a Coldplay concert appears to have caught a tech CEO in what can definitely be described as a compromising position. The band did a show in Boston this week, which featured their kiss cam roving Gillette Stadium for affectionate couples. In the audience, it landed on the CEO of tech company Astronomer, Andy Byron, who was caught snuggling with his chief people officer. I don't know if that's HR or what.
HR.
Kristen Cabot, who is not his wife. A clip of the embrace went viral on TikTok after receiving more than 20 million views. Byron's wife removed her husband's last name from her Facebook profile and then deleted her account. I think she's mad, Mello. I think she's not happy.
I think she's mad. If you saw the video, you can see why she's even more mad, because they sheepishly, like, start pulling away from each other. And he literally crawls down on the ground before. But the best part of the whole image is, like, the girl that's on the side that's, like, laughing, like, ha-ha, you guys, you finally got caught. And she's got, like, this big old grin on her face. And I think Coldplay actually said, wow, they must be doing something they're not supposed to be doing when that happened. So I think their reaction to being caught is what kind of caused more of the mayhem. If they would have just been owning their moment, nobody would have even looked twice at them.
You know, you look at the guy, all right, this Andy Byron, rich guy, CEO, right?
$1.3 billion net worth.
Yeah, and you go, if he gets caught fooling around with somebody who's single, you go, uh-oh, that bad boy, you know, maybe he's going to be in trouble, whatever. And then you go, you throw the woman in there, and she's married to someone else. So it's a double cheat, right? It's not just one, but it's a double cheat. And it's like, oh, my gosh, you guys are so stupid.
And
and then he had the audacity. And I'll let you tell it. He had
no,
the audacity. He had the audacity of saying, well, that's an invasion of my privacy. You shouldn't have had a picture of me on the kid. That's not fair. Dude. You're a 1.2 billionaire.
Right.
You are the CEO of a company, and you're at a concert in public.
Yeah.
Like, you have no, there's no, there's no claim that you shouldn't. No.
But I think Coldplay is playing into it. I think, I'm afraid Coldplay is going to get sued in the future from this, but Coldplay tweeted out, starting with our next show, we're introducing camera-free audience sections for people and their side pieces. Which I thought was funny.
Oh, man. Andy Byron is in so much trouble.
Yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad because it's not just, ha-ha, you guys got caught. Like, there's so much more because I was that girl, right? where my husband was cheating with another married woman and had a baby.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really shatters families. And that woman, she has three small children with this guy. So she's going to be tied to him for years.
I was going to bring up a meme that I thought was funny, but now that you made it kind of serious, I don't know if I should.
I'm sorry.
It was a picture of a woman in a very extravagant house with three kids. And one of the kids says, "Mommy, how did we get so rich?" And the mom said something like, "Well, here's the deal." Coldplay. Yeah. I guess it's supposed to be the ex-wife of Byron. I don't know.
I don't think men get that well-versed in their careers. And I don't think men become that successful without somebody behind them, supporting them.
Agreed.
And pushing them to become better and do better. So I think it's really sad for everybody involved. Because we don't know how many children this other HR lady has either, if that's going to impact them. And
well, I always told my kids, as they were growing up and dating and eventually getting married, I said, look, you need to find a person that will make you a better person. Someone that will support you in your pursuits and you support them in their pursuits. And I wholeheartedly agree with you as far as the marriage thing. And, you know, we are in a more non-traditional world now, right? Where there's not a lot of moms that stay home and raise the kids. But still, the support has got to be there. And for, even though this is funny, the guy got caught the way he got caught, it is, you're right, it's devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman who deleted the guy's name and then the account, the one that got, well, jilted or whatever you want to say, I feel for her. Mm-hmm. And I know you probably feel for her more than anybody because it happened to you.
Yeah, it's a very public thing. It's sad.
A couple of other things I wanted to bring up before we go to commercial break. First of all, Costco, you know, we've been talking about it for 2 months now. They are switching over to Coke from Pepsi. They're little fountain drinks, right?
Okay, good.
But nobody had from Costco had actually officially said, yes, this is true.
Oh.
Like, it was the worst kept secret out there, but Costco had never said, yeah, we're doing that until today. CEO of Costco today said, yes, we are in fact changing. The conversion has already begun across the nation starting the first of this month. July 1st, they started changing. It hasn't hit ours. We still have Pepsi over here at our Costco. But I, for one, am pretty happy about it, although I do have a Costco story. You want my Costco story? Stupid story, but... So I went to Costco with my son. This was like last Friday, maybe, or Saturday. And one of the things I like to do, and shame on me, go ahead, smack me. I don't know if it's legal or not, but I get their vanilla ice cream. And then a lot of Costco's had root beer. And so I would eat some of the ice cream, and then I would put root beer to make myself a little float, right? Well, our Costco here stopped having root beer. I think they were wise to my trick, right? and they don't carry root beer anymore. But... when I was at the Costco with my son, I was walking out, right? And I saw they had root beer. And I'm like, hey, man. So I went over and got a vanilla ice cream. Great deal. $1.99 for a big cup of soft serve ice cream, right? And I go over to the root beer to make myself my little root beer float. And it came out clear. They were out of root beer syrup.
Oh, no.
So my son, he did not say it, but I think he was thinking, well, Dad, you didn't really pay for a soda. You paid for an ice cream, so it serves you right. So I put Mountain Dew in it. Anyway, all right, we got to go to commercial break.
Okay.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 936 on KDXU. Mello is here as well, hanging with us. What's up, Mello?
You know, it's a great day now that my mic's working and you fixed my headphones on the break. It's a great day. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I don't know if you heard about this yesterday. So police got a tip that a lady who was missing out of Nevada was in a home here in St. George, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the house. Now, it's early morning. The story says early morning. I picture early morning being, you know, somewhere between 4 and 8 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
But it could have been between 2 and... I don't know what time it was. I really don't. But they knock on the door several times. Hey, you know what? Please, open it. And the people are sleeping, right?
Yeah.
So they don't answer the door. Well, the police, acting on this tip, okay, maybe this lady is in here and she's being held against her will. they call the SWAT team. And the SWAT comes out, and they set up their sniper rifles, and they're, you know, their armored vehicle and everything, and they set up a perimeter, and they are going to break the door down. Mm. And apparently the people finally wake up and open the door.
Yeah.
And they go in, and the lady was, in fact, there, the lady missing out of Henderson, Nevada. Well, I use the word missing because she wasn't really missing. She was there of her own volition. She had traveled to St. George because she wanted to be here with the guy that she was with. And she wasn't a teenager or anything. She was an adult. And I guess the whole thing was a little much ado about nothing.
Wow.
Because, guns pointed everything. And it turns out she's like, yeah, I'm just up here with this guy. And I'm not sure why everybody's freaking out.
I'm an adult.
Oh, my goodness. So that whole thing is, a little bit weird.
That's why you got to communicate. If she would have communicated with her family and friends back home, then that would have been different.
I agree. Did they try to call her phone? Did she not have her phone? There's too many questions, right, mm-hmm. that we don't know the answer to on this one.
Right.
Here's another one. Okay, out in Haledale, there's a guy by the name of Aaron LaCordy. He was an assistant coach on one of the sports teams and a teacher there at the school, 37 years old. Aaron apparently developed, I don't know what kind of relationship, some kind of relationship with one of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 37-year-old LaCordy and 16-year-old, almost broke my mic. 16-year-old, we don't know her name,
mm-hmm.
which is good because she's underage.
Mm-hmm.
They could not prove any kind of sexual relationship. I don't know if there was one or not. They couldn't prove it. But someone did see him kissing her out at a place called, I didn't know Hildale had this, a place called The Rock.
Mm.
And so LaCordy was arrested and eventually charged. The only charge they could make stick, though, was, and I didn't even know this was a crime, kissing, I'm going to read it directly on, unlawful kissing of a minor.
Okay.
I didn't know that was a thing. I kissed my granddaughter the other day. Is that the same thing?
No.
She did one of those where she wanted to be kissed on the lips, this little 5-year-old, and I'm like, I'm not really comfortable with this, but right. You know what? Whatever. She's five. I kissed her because I'm Pops. You know, mm-hmm. That's what Pops did. But anyway, so this LaCordy guy gets fined $4,853.
Hefty.
For kissing, unlawful kissing of a minor. Well, the judge says, you know what, we really don't have any kind of proof that you had any kind of relationship with her. Yeah, somebody saw you kissing her, but that's all we got.
Hearsay.
So I'm going to suspend the fine except for the $53. So LaCordy gets fined $53 for these unlawful kissing of a teenage girl. I got to be careful. I don't want to pass judgment. I could be sued if we said he did other things. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The honest truth is we don't know. But I know the outrage online when the story was published on different news outlets was pretty severe. People were mad.
Yeah.
$53 for a teacher having a relationship with a teenager? That's not cool, man. In fact, one guy said, quote, a parking fine costs more than what this guy got.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have, do you have strong feelings one way or the other on this one?
Well, it depends on the proof, right? So we don't know the proof. Like if he actually did it, he shouldn't be teaching anymore. But,
I agree.
But a lot of people can ruin a person's whole life and career just by saying something that isn't true. So that's why I kind of like to give people the benefit of the doubt. So I don't know. But if he did do it, then yes, he should have more of a fine than $53.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't be around young girls.
Okay, I have a question, different topic. Question, real estate question.
Oh, goodness.
So when you go to build a house, you have to get a building permit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that much, but it costs some money, right? Mm-hmm. And you probably have to pay impact fees and all that stuff, too.
You do get impact fees, yes.
But, so we had the Forsyth Fire up at Pine Valley, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying now the official number is 17 homes were destroyed.
Mm.
They had a meeting the other night. The Washington County Commission met with the residents there. And the commission said, we are going to waive the building permit fee.
Okay.
So that you can rebuild your cabins.
Okay.
First of all, I think that's kind. But honestly, I was a little surprised there would even be. If you're putting a cabin right where your cabin already was that just burned down, shouldn't you not have to pay anything, like building permit fee, any of that stuff? Because all you're doing is replacing what was there, it seems like to me. I don't know.
I think it's just a process. Like, everything has a process. And just because the house is gone, like, what if they're getting a building permit for an outbuilding? Like, they just have a process.
Okay.
So they're just following. I think it's really great that they're waiving that, because they should.
Well, I do too, except for, of course they should. I mean, shouldn't all fees be waived if all you're doing is replacing a house that the wildfire burned down? It seems like to me.
Yeah, but it doesn't go without saying, because there's just rules and protocols in place.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's why you're the expert here on real estate and stuff, because I
don't do new builds very often, so I'm not an expert on that, but I do resales.
That's a good point. So, I don't know. I feel, even Governor Cox said, we feel heartbroken for those who have lost their homes, and we do too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and somebody said they were almost all, except for a couple, were second homes. They were cabins or whatever. But yeah. You know what? Imagine you scrimped your whole life, and you finally got enough together where you could build a second home, a cabin up in the cooler area, mm-hmm. and it burns down. I mean, that's brutal.
That's sad. It's very sad. And I'm glad there were no lives lost, right?
Right.
So I think they managed it as best they could.
One of the firefighters got injured yesterday, or day before yesterday. They said he fell. I don't know how far he fell, but they had to get a helicopter just to get him out of where he fell. They took him to the base camp, stabilized him, put him aboard a Mediflight, a medical flight helicopter, and brought him to the hospital. Oh. They didn't say exactly what injuries he had, but they did say he would make a full recovery. But holy cow.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. So
very grateful for the firefighters and emergency responders we have in our area.
Absolutely. All right. I wanted to ask you. So there are places I wouldn't mind living. That'd be really cool. Hawaii would be awesome, right? Pine Valley would be awesome. But there's one place I don't want to live, and it's Florida.
Really?
I have no desire. Florida has, first of all, they have alligators.
Uh-huh.
They have more rattlesnakes than Utah.
Okay.
They have mosquitoes the size of F-16 fighters.
Okay.
I'm exaggerating a little, but only a little.
A little, yeah.
And someone thought it would be cool to bring pythons to Florida. Uh-huh. They're not native to Florida, but a couple of pet pythons got loose, and now there are pythons everywhere.
That's crazy. So I lived in Florida.
Yeah.
And it was, the only thing I can say is I only lived there for 9 months. My husband was training there, so we're at a training base there. The really cool thing I like about the East Coast in Florida is they have these things called lightning bugs.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they have those in Texas.
And they, like, fly around. You can catch them and hold them in your hand. And, like, I love that. It's beautiful there. It's green. There's lots of water. Like, you're driving around like a highway, and there's just water on the other side. Like, you feel like you're in Mario Kart, you know? Like, if you go off the curve, you're going to fall into the water. That is where I ran over like 1,000 frogs.
Oh.
Because they were like migrating, and I was driving, and all of a sudden it's like, pop, pop, pop.
What are you supposed to do, right?
Oh, it was terrifying. Oh, yeah. But those are my Florida experiences.
I assume a few of them croaked.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Thank you.
So they're having right now the 2025 Florida Python Challenge. And basically what they've done is, because pythons are not native to Florida, they're actually taking over some areas where they shouldn't be.
Okay.
And so every year they have what they call the Python Challenge. And basically they tell anybody that wants to, they can go out with their gun and they can go hunting and kill as many pythons as they want. It's legal to kill a python. Last year they killed, let's see if I can find the number here. Last year, I think it was 197 snakes last year.
Really?
Python snakes were killed last year. And it was a two week python challenge period. So this is number 11. So they've had pythons there for 11 years now or longer.
So is there a prize for like the most pythons?
Yes. There's a cash prize. Most of them are Burmese pythons, which are the ones that get really big. Not as big as, I think there's another one called the, I can't think of the name right now, but these are the ones that are almost as big. And there are pictures, maybe they're AI, maybe they're not, but I've seen pictures of pythons and alligators fighting, and usually the python wins. because it can swallow the alligator whole.
Really?
Smaller alligators, yes.
Okay.
But I just was thinking, you know, years ago I had a buddy who was a beer drinker. Mm-hmm. And he talked me into tasting it. This was, I mean, we're talking about 50 years ago, mm-hmm. well, 40 years ago. And I said, this is disgusting. How can you drink that? And he goes, oh, it's an acquired taste. Mm-hmm. Once you get used to it. And I was like, if I have to drink something that I have to get used to, I'm not interested. If I have to get used to, in Florida, there being pythons around and mm-hmm. rattlesnakes and gators, and I'm not interested in that.
In the suburbs, you're not experiencing that as much. Well, it's not like that. It's not like that. Have you heard of the snake prank that people are doing on social media?
Uh-oh, we got a new one going.
Yeah, so they have like this like rubber snake, and then they tie it to like a fishing line.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
And then they clip it, and then they come up behind them and clip it, and then they're like, oh my gosh, a snake, and they run around.
They're running and it chases them. Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. My sister lived in Florida for a while in Panama City, which I guess it's in northwestern Florida. Mm-hmm. But she said one time she went out, and her kids were out playing out front, and they were playing with these little teeny snakes, little small, this, you know, the size of a pencil. And she thought, oh, that's so cute. They're playing with the little snakes. And the neighbor came over, and they were talking for a while, and the neighbor said, oh, by the way, just so you're aware, your kids are playing with pygmy rattlesnakes.
Stop it.
And my sister's like, what? Yeah, they're deadly. And my sister was like, oh, okay, kids, come over here. We're not going to play with those snakes anymore. But
wow.
Yeah. And again, that is reason number 1,643 to not live in the state of Florida.
Oh, their beaches are beautiful, though. Can we ask the question that caller had?
Okay, let's ask the question. We got to get a commercial break in, yeah. But real quick, we had someone call and say, listen, we're going to NASCAR. Is it next week?
I think it's in Vegas, yeah.
In Vegas.
I don't know which week it is. Don't know.
But they wanted to know, will traffic be so bad that they should just plan on staying in Vegas that night, or can they go ahead and drive home?
Back to St. George. Yeah.
I don't have experience. I haven't been to NASCAR in Vegas, so mm-hmm. I can't tell you the answer, but I know there are people out there who regularly make that trip. If you want to text me at 435-467-5842, we will announce your thoughts on that.
Thank you.
When we come back.
Oh, we got a call too. I'll grab that.
All right, we'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Thanks for tuning in today on the Andy Griffin Show. I really appreciate that. We are very conservative here on the Andy Griffin Show. I think most of our listeners on KDXU are very conservative, with the exception of Mello's sister, who doesn't listen, really. I'm just kidding about that.
That's funny.
She's out in Cali.
Cali, yes.
Which is where most liberals belong, right?
That's valid. In
Cali, yes. Or New York, or mm-hmm. maybe Chicago.
Well, not
like
that they belong there, but that's where they migrate, maybe.
Okay, yeah. A couple of stories I thought were interesting. More Americans are delaying retirement than ever before. 23% of people over the age of 50 are planning to hold off on retirement. That's up 9% from 2 years ago. They're saying that this is a number that blows me away. The median savings of 55-year-olds in America is $50,000. That ain't going to do it in retirement.
No.
Now, you have been paying into Social Security your whole life,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get Social Security and everything, and that's another reason to hold off, because the longer you wait to take Social, the more you'll get.
Right, but I was out of it for 20 years. I was a stay-at-home mom for 20 years.
Yeah, and I was a freelance for all those years, so my Social Security is not very big.
Right.
But $50,000, really? That's all most people have saved for retirement? That just blows me away.
Mm-hmm.
So... okay, on the NASCAR, if you get that, and let's see, you can, okay.
She's most worried about getting out of the parking lot.
Okay, yeah, and honestly, if you've been to any big event, if you just pack your patience a little bit getting out of the parking lot, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll be fine. But if I get any more answers, I will let you know. The other story I thought was interesting, I've made it public. I am taking a semaglutide shot. I am losing weight. It's working for me. And I keep waiting for, you know, I did a story earlier today. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. I keep waiting for that on semaglutides. But another story has come out in support of semaglutide saying that popular weight loss drugs like semaglutide and tirzepatide, mm-hmm. I guess is how
it's tirzepatide, yeah.
Oh, way to go. Help reduce the risk of dementia and stroke, as well as, of course, all the other things involved with losing weight. And
I haven't
stuff.
Heard that.
I'm just like, you know, Dr. Blodgett, when he was first on talking about this topic, he said, we don't know the long-term effects. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that scares me. And he says, maybe because it slows down your digestive system, maybe it's going to cause you to have colon cancer in the future or something, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it does. I'm saying that was one of the things he was worried about. But when I asked him outright, I said, would you, if you had someone who was had a high BMI, someone in, that you were related to, maybe your niece or your daughter or whatever, would you recommend them take this? He said, I got to be honest, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because maybe you get cancer in 20 years, but you're going to get heart disease and type 2 diabetes and, you know, maybe stroke. And all these things are coming if you don't lose the weight. And
right.
I was like, all right, well, right. I'll give it a try. So my doctor said that it is by far the most requested pharmaceutical out there.
Really?
But one thing I would caution, and he cautioned me about this, he said, there are places, even in little old St. George, Washington County, where you can get this semaglutide compounded, but they have no oversight. They could not be putting as much in. They could be putting too much. They could be not putting any in. He said, go to a compounding place that has an oversight, that has someone check their pharmaceuticals to make sure you're getting the right stuff. And so I actually ordered mine out of a group out of Arizona that has a pretty good oversight. They have the government is checking to make sure they're doing what they say they're doing. And I like that.
Very good.
Anyway.
I'm glad it's working for you.
It is working. It would work better if I give up certain things like Dr. Pepper, but I haven't yet. but yeah. And I do want to, you know, I had back when I was having all kinds of antibiotics for my sepsis problem, a lot of people told me, hey, make sure you take probiotics to counteract what antibiotics do to your good bacteria in your gut. After being on antibiotics like 5 different times, the 5th time I didn't take probiotics, and now I am pain. I am very sick. I've had some stomach issues for the last 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that told me to do it and I didn't listen to you, first of all, thank you for telling me. Second of all, I'm sorry I didn't listen. I'm really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen because it's not fun being sick all the time.
No.
So. Anyway, anything else from the news I wanted to get to before we go, because we have just like 2 minutes left. Meet the Mayors. That was the other thing I wanted to get to. So on Monday night at Pineview High School and Wednesday night at Utah Tech University, you have an opportunity, if you live in St. George, to go meet all 4 of the candidates running for mayor. Michelle Randall, who is our current mayor, Jimmy Hughes, who is currently on the city council, Aris Mackey and Brandon Razzo will all be there. That there will also be not all the city councilmen, but some of the people running for city council. But if you want to meet all 4, to me, this kind of thing is really important, because if you want to, you know, vet, if you want to really find out what someone's all about, you need to talk to them in person.
It's true.
So opportunity on Monday at Pineview, Wednesday at Utah Tech to meet Michelle, Jimmy, Aris, and Brandon.
That's awesome.
In person. So, all right. We've about used it up. Final thoughts for us, Melo, on this?
No, I'm excited. I'm going to be going out of town for a week. So, yeah. So it's my turn to go on a trip.
Okay. You go, and then when you get back, I think I'm going again.
I know. It's so true. Yeah. We'll just take turns.
Although this funeral one was not planned.
No, that was not a fun trip, for sure.
It was definitely not. Although, I have to admit, I had a lot of nice times with the grandkids, too.
Yeah. It's so nice to get to, like, have that time where you're downtime and you're sitting and relaxing. And not relaxing, but you're sitting a lot when you're going through funeral stuff.
I have one issue. I have a 5-year-old grandson. He likes to jump on my lap, which is nice, except for he likes to lead with his knees. Now, me being a male, when a 5-year-old jumps on you without you knowing it's coming, usually I'm holding another kid or whatever, knees first.
And
it's not fun.
That's not a fun example. Not fun at all.
I love the kid, but man, I wish he'd lead with something else besides his knees.
Right.
So. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Andy Griffin Show. We'll be back on Monday. Jack Lancaster will be with me on the show. Haven't heard from Jack in a while. That'll be a great show. Thanks, Mello, for coming today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We are out of time. Talk to you on Monday.